Down the stretch we come. Grant and Danny, final few minutes on the Fan. As promised, we got tickets to give away right now. The Caps 50 Fest is coming up in just a few weeks on October 10th at Capital One Arena. We got two tickets for you right now to the Caps 50 Fest, starring Third Eye Blind. They're going to have current and former Capitals there as well. Photo opportunities, all kinds of entertainment, and that concert. Tickets are on sale. $19.74. Honored with a $19.74 ticket. 50 years of Caps hockey. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. I will be there because I can't get enough of the Caps.
I love that. Like, of my waking hours, like, aka, like, when I'm conscious, you know, thinking about, like, as a 1 or 2 year old, I can't be held accountable for my fandom. But the instant I could perceive things in the world, I've been a Caps fan. So that's like 80-some percent of their existence I have cared about the Washington Capitals. That's pretty cool.
My son, who's 3, on Sunday last weekend, so I was at the X watching the Giants and the Commanders, sadly, but I was getting pics and videos. He went out and played some hockey at a Caps clinic for young kids. So this was just on shoes running around, although he has been out on the ice at the St. James learning how to ice skate. But he really likes watching hockey and says he wants to play hockey. Now, my fear is that we become that family.
The travel hockey family?
Which I really don't have a whole lot of interest in. Like, I think it'd be the cutest thing in the world, and whatever he wants to do, I'll try to support him. But, like, I don't know that we got the time. I know we don't have the money. I'm not sure that we have the energy, so it doesn't really seem like a fit for the Paulsons.
Yeah, apparently those hockey rinks are broken at, like, reasonable times. You got to get on early. You got to be there at 6 in the morning for
so
your hockey.
So early.
Yeah.
And the travel's insane. Our guy Logan Paulson, who, by the way, Logan's an incredible human being. Logan Paulson, do you remember the bit I used to do with him when we started every single segment on Grant and Danny? When I would ask him the same question every week. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, do you know how to ice skate?
Yeah. The bit was he had never ice skated in his life. I saw him at training camp. He's now in a men's hockey league, ice skating in a hockey league. He taught himself how to ice skate well enough that he plays in a weekly competitive league in Ashburn.
I got to tell you, if I was just a regular Joe who's skating up and down the ice trying to get some exercise, I don't know that I want old Logan Paulson hunting me.
I don't think you want him leaning on you in the corner.
Yeah, like, here's Logan Paulson on the forecheck. Oh, I know what you're saying.
He's 35,
I know that's the point.
And he just decided to teach himself. He's like, you know what? I don't think it's because of the bit we did on the air. His son's super into hockey.
I think it is. I think you inspired him.
I don't think so. He just said, I'm going to teach myself to ice skate. You know what? I'm going to play a little hockey. And now he's like a good defenseman in hockey in some men's league.
Yeah, the old world-class athlete able to pick up another sport.
Why?
Amazing, right?
But anyway, he's got a son who's really, really good, but they travel a lot. I don't know, man. Like, I certainly want my kid to be happy playing whatever he's playing, and I want to be the supportive dad. Like, Eric Bickle is incredible, and I'd like to be that at some point where you go to all your kids' games. The difference is he's got a bunch of D1 athletes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm going to have those. We'll see how it goes. But just the fact that he's interested enough that he wanted to go do some drills. He was the smallest kid out there. He got a stick that we played with in the basement the next day. It's kind of cute.
Oh, it's awesome. But yeah, the hockey all the travel sports are bat bleep insane. For whatever reason, hockey's like, yeah, the tournament's in the one of the faraway provinces of Canada, and it starts tomorrow, and it's $10,000. Go.
Yeah.
It's that one is especially nuts.
Before we get to our discussion on Cover 2 being banned in the NFL, that's what some analysts want, which I find hysterical. Carlos has been waiting in Savannah Park. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, guys. Look, you know how ESPN usually does like a country pool and then they select everyone. They do their own selection. Well, the country pool is going to be 99.7% Bengals. And then the rest of them are going to pick the Bengals as well, except for one person, which is the 0.3. Alex Smith is going to come out and say, give me the Commanders to win the game. And I just think, you know, put the mortgage on the Bengals. But, you know, I'm a DC, I'm a Commanders fan like everyone else and all. But, whew, let's wake up, man. Danny, I love your Ashburg syndrome. You know, I have that too. But let's be realistic, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, dude.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, so I thought Ashburg syndrome meant you just swallow whatever they give you, like every pill no matter what.
Yeah,
and you think it's good?
He confused us. I think he's saying I have it because I think they
I got you.
Hang in the game.
Yeah.
I would say I don't, But that's always good. Like, I like balancing it out because I get called a hater all day
long. Yeah, I want to, like, the goal, and it's frustrating at times, but is to argue with everybody on either side of
exactly.
you.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I always know that I'm doing a good job if simultaneously in my feed I've got people calling me a hater and a homer. That's a good tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hate the team, you love the team, you have, I don't do the Ashburn syndrome thing, but whatever that is, you know, I think it just means you're a mark, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Not me, I don't, but I think they can hang with the Bengals. Again, it has very little to do with Washington and a lot more to do with Cincinnati. And I hope that come Tuesday, we're able to talk about the Bengals.
How much fun would that be?
Because if the Bengals play their best game and Washington plays their best game, then the Bengals are probably 10 points better than the Commanders. You need your A game and probably their like C-minus game, and now it's coming down to a field goal at the horn. And we already know Austin Seibert don't miss.
You talking about special teams player of the week, Austin Seibert?
I'm talking about chip shot villain. I'm talking about chip shot chippy. 7 field goals from 45 and in. Just a bunch of extra points or closer. Austin Seibert does not miss.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't miss again. Although, we never talked about this. If I could pat myself on the back real quick.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Last week, I predicted an Austin Seibert game winner at the horn going into the Commanders and the Giants, if you remember.
Did you actually predict that?
I predicted the point was actually a little, I think I said 23-20.
Well, then it's not exactly
like
right.
20-18 or whatever the hell it was. So it wasn't exact. And I did not say they would not score any touchdowns. So I didn't have the game script completely correct. But I did say an Austin Seibert game winner at the horn.
I would take a victory lap. I would stand up and walk around one time. That's a victory lap.
Might have to do that.
You earned it.
Thank you. Okay, let's get to this cover two discussion, if we could. This was a wacky on ESPN today. You know how in baseball they got rid of the ability to shift your defense to make it easier to hit?
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks into passing offenses being down, Mel Kiper today became the latest analyst on ESPN. He's not the only one, but he is the most vocal to say that we need to do something and change some rules to make passing more ubiquitous again. We haven't been able to pass for like 3 hours, and people just can't help themselves. Listen to what Mel Kiper said this morning on Get Up.
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the 9-route post. You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips, the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride, 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay, check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts. You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I said what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the cornerbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was in games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. And they're playing with 9 guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough radio. They come up. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But you got to figure out, competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
It sounded like Caliendo was doing a Kiper.
Seriously.
You know, that was the most Kiper I've ever heard him. The part that's hilarious is when he starts saying the quarterbacks he liked, he named 30. Normally, just to drive your point home, you're like, I grew up in a day where Patrick Mahomes was slinging it downfield. You had Drew Brees hooking up with Devery Henderson. You know, whatever. He named 36 guys in a row.
from so many decades.
What about 1972? We had him. 1973, there was this guy. 1974, they had this guy. 75, we had 2 guys. 76, we had 3 guys. 77, we had 4 guys. 5 minutes later. 1982, we had this guy. 1991, we had this guy. That was the most Kiper I've ever heard.
He was so turned up. But that's, you know, he's appearing on a morning show. He's hot taking it. You got to turn your hot take up.
They let the tiger out of the cage, I think. Having said that, even though I think that the point is silly, and I'll explain why in a minute, I kind of found his point at the end a little bit interesting, Which is to say, if you go to games, you will be at one on Monday night.
That's
what you are going to see is there are snaps where the safeties are playing on a different field.
On another field.
It's like the line of scrimmage is the 20, and their heels are on the 46 or on the snap. And that is pretty extreme.
Mm-hmm.
His point is, let's have a rule where they got to be closer to the line, because then you're going to get the deep shots, then you're going to get the explosives and the big plays, and it's better for the consumer. No thank you. But if your point is as simple as, if you just cut to the chase of, let's not have guys 25 yards off the ball at the snap, it doesn't sound as crazy as the idea that you want to change the rules to get passing back in the game after a couple of weeks that were down for passers.
Yeah, so the analogy for baseball, I just want to offer this, because I've seen some people comment and say, well, they did it in baseball, why can't they do it in football? It doesn't work for me, and here's why. Directing a baseball that's thrown 100 miles an hour with a round bat and a very small surface area to make contact is a fool's errand. Good luck directionally hitting. This is not, you know, Joe Pepito in the 1950s against, you know, slack job McGarnacle, you know, who's throwing spitballs. This is a different time. Making contact is a godsend at this stage. So, yes, it needs to be easier to hit. It's correcting a problem, right? Now, whether you like shifts or not, the premise makes sense. You can control where the football goes when you have control of the football. In the other sport, the defense has the ball. In football, if I want to run to the right, I'm not bound by some defender deciding where or not where the play goes. I control where the play goes. They must react to me. So it's not the same. Number one. Number two, there have been multiple innovations and changes in the way football has gone in this live chess match thousands of times over. The Wildcat was going to change the game until it didn't. Then it was read option. The next adaptation for defense, the Tampa 2. How will anyone ever throw a forward pass against the Tampa 2? Oh, you mean a middle linebacker runs straight back in the middle of the field? How can you stop that? Offensive minds, guys with, you know, that are younger and more handsome with more flat tops, get into a lab and come up with stuff, and then they get promoted, and then there's a new cycle. We're in a cycle right now where, yes, two high safeties are ruining some of these deep shots. I bet you something comes out of it. I bet you they figure it out.
But also, there is open real estate to take advantage of now. That's the gig, right? I mean, in other words, and I think your point is great, because the argument that was silly was, well, if they shift, just bunt. Or, you know, if they shift, just hit the other way. Impossible.
You just do that, you know, real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you just do it?
But if they play that deep, then mm-hmm. you do have the underneath stuff. We're seeing that to an extreme. Then you do have some of the, either the bubbles, the smokes at the line of scrimmage, the hitches, the stops, the slants, some of that other stuff. There are areas of the field. I don't even think they're trying to take away always like the nine routes and the posts. Because if you watch, that stuff is often available. What the two safeties being so high are trying to take away is what the whole league was, which is those in-breaking digs. Like that 17 to 20 area right now has gotten a little more crowded. How often did you see this? It's the play action shot. Justin Jefferson over the last few years making a living. There's a million guys. It's that 17-yard, I call it a dig, like that square in, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're taking away. You still see sometimes you get guys open down the field on the post, and quarterbacks haven't really hit on those, or you're not normally looking for those because they aren't open that often. But two responses to the conversation I saw today online that I wanted to read. One was from our buddy Jay Gruden. Remind me, Darius, to ask Jay about this on Monday when he joins us. He'll be with us ahead of Monday Night Football. He said, Mel Kiper just said too high safety should be outlawed. He does know you can still play cover two with two corners playing deep half. Maybe a corner and a nickel playing a deep half. Stick to the draft, Mel. So Jay was like salty.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, man.
That's right,
which
Jay.
I loved. But his point is, so we're going to outlaw two high safeties. I could still get to that with a bunch of different looks.
Yeah, you run quarters. You can do whatever you want.
It's not like I just have to have guys before the line of scrimmage standing there. So his point is, okay, I'll just line up different and I can still give you that look. Kurt Warner had something that I thought was insightful too. He said, listening to this cover two convo on ESPN, and here's what I find that's interesting. You have cover three equals three guys deep. Cover four, four guys deep. Cover two, only two guys deep. So idea you can't threaten two guys downfield as well as three or four is crazy. Maybe hard to get behind them, but a lot more gaps in the second level. Which is kind of my point.
Yes.
Like, they're giving you something. Dan Orlovsky responded to that and said, agree, and the best way to attack those gaps in the pass game, displace the underneath guys via play action. Which Why aren't teams doing that? The Saints are, more than anybody. They've scored on every possession.
I don't know if I want to copy what they're doing with all the points.
Like, 41% of plays have been designed runs. The highest rate since 2008. Some of this is self-inflicted because I think teams are just deciding.
Yeah, they're like, look at this light box. Look at this nickel cornerback exactly. up here. Let's run it.
So
yeah.
We'll take four. Well, good. That's what I want you to do. Take mm-hmm. four.
Yep.
Instead of ramming your head against the wall a little bit and mm-hmm. actually, but here's what happens. When you're running it 40% of the time, which is, believe it or not, a lot on design carries, now under center, play action, drop back game, I've got some of that stuff back with the linebackers creeping up. So I just think it's really interesting that the immediate response today is let's get rid of two high safeties and get the downfield pass back in football. There's no need to fix something that isn't broken. Maybe throwing down the field right now is broken or damaged. So make them adjust. Eat them alive underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Move the football on the ground and they adjust. Or maybe they'll decide death by paper cut's better than death by gash. Maybe they're okay with that. Because it is true defensively, and this is why I would always have played this way, you're not hitting a home run against me, you're not beating me down the field, and you're not going to score on a four-play 80-yard drive. What I will give you, if you're willing to do it, is 13 plays and 75 yards, five at a time or whatever.
Because it's a decent bet that something will derail that drive that's self-inflicted, whether it's a hold, whether it's an illegal formation, Ryan Grant, whether it's an eligible receiver downfield, which we're now seeing a million times over with these RPOs. We've seen that dozens of times over the first couple of weeks, it feels like. A million things can derail a drive. Just, somebody doesn't go to the right spot, or my defense actually makes a play, God forbid. That the more plays that you're running as a defense, I know it's counterintuitive because we always talk about the defense wanting to get off the field, but making the offense run more plays statistically to me is better for a defense. You know what I mean? Like, obviously you look at what Washington did with the control of the ball for 38 minutes. I don't mean that, but I would much rather keep everything in front of me and never give you anything easy, right? It's all, if you have to chip away, something's going to go wrong. Unless you have a great defense, you could stop everything. If I've got to give something up, it would be that.
League-wide through 2 weeks via Orlovsky, who came on the show last week. After 2 weeks of football going into tonight, 69 passing touchdowns, the fewest since 2006. That was the year I graduated high school. 7.1 average target depth. So that's ADOT. You're throwing the ball on average 7 yards downfield. The lowest on record. Now, we have not been tracking that forever. But think about that, Danny. Since we've been tracking that statistically, we have never seen passes this short consistently. 41% design run plays, as I mentioned, the highest since 2008, 16 years ago. 32nd time of possession per play. This is the slowest offenses have operated since 2008, meaning you're snapping on average with 10 seconds left on the play clock. That part's interesting to me. Why is that, do you think? I think maybe running more than passing could have something to do with that. Also, a short passing game as opposed to a deeper passing game because mm-hmm. everyone's closer to the huddle. So maybe you don't have
that's a good thought. Yeah.
Running back from downfield, so that helps with tempo. But that's interesting. Since 2008, which is the last year we ran this much, this is the slowest offenses have operated.
I would have thought it would go the opposite direction, and here's why. Basically finding... Wait, go ahead, sorry.
Well, I'm wondering if I'm I'm just reading this here. 32nd TOP per play. I wonder if I'm misthinking about this. I'm viewing that as that it takes 30 seconds per play, but I think what it's actually saying is if you take the time of possession on a series and divide it by play, it's 30 seconds, which is actually different. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No. Now I'm confused. Sorry, I thought I was working on a theory, but now I'm
so
back to square zero.
Here's what I think they're saying. I think the point is teams are holding the ball longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're saying if you run 10 plays in X amount of time of possession,
right,
and they do that math, on average, you're running a play every 30 seconds, which I think is different than snapping the ball every 30 with 10 seconds left on the play clock.
I see. Okay, gotcha.
It's like game time versus play clock time.
So 10 plays this year is taking longer than 10 plays 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Okay, in theory. Yeah, because, I mean, to me, the thing that you see so much now is we've got a matchup that we like. We're not going to let you substitute. We're not going to, because the sub package has taken over the game on both sides of the ball, by the way. It used to be your offense was your offense, and think of Peyton Manning's Colts. There's not a lot of running on off the field. Maybe the running back needs a break, but Dallas Clark on one side, two receivers on the other, and you know, one receiver outside of Dallas Clark, and let's line up and go. We're calling everything at the line. We're not letting you get a better matchup. If we like Dallas Clark on the guy that you got covering, we're going to exploit that until you're dead. You sort of saw that take over a little bit. So going to the other direction where it's taking longer is interesting. I couldn't answer that.
There were fewer blitzes in the first 2 weeks than we've ever seen while tracking if defensive coordinators were blitzing or not.
There's your defensive paradigm for it, right? Yep. Where it's like, nothing deep, man. We're not getting beat over our head.
Yeah, we're keeping guys back. We're not sending them downhill. And then 46% too high safety percentage, the highest on record, which is what Kuiper and others are trying to get rid of. Week 3, Intel coming, starting tonight. It will be loading as of about 8:20 when the Jets play the Patriots. We need more games to get more data, but I think we've certainly got a trend that we can continue to monitor. All right, let's get to Nats baseball ahead of their game with the Cubs at Wrigley Field tonight. Nats starting lineups and pitching matchups presented by the Window Man. Since 1989, the Window Man has been the educational window company. Get your free, no pressure, in-home estimate at thewindowman.com or at their Fairfax showroom.
Behind Patrick Corbett, leading off playing shortstop. See? Check. Abrams batting second in right field. Dylan Cruz batting third in left field. The James Wood batting fourth. The cleanup hitter, Andres Chaparro. Batting fifth at third base. Batting sixth, doing the catching, Kaber Ruiz. Batting seventh at first base, Wanya Pez. Hitting eighth, playing second base. What's up, Darren Baker? Batting ninth in center field, your guy, my guy, our guy. That's Jacob Young.
It's time for your Nats game day weather presented by Pepco. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco because they know it's storm season and they know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. Our show meteorologist back after an absence yesterday is Darius Stammer.
Mostly clear skies in Chicago. It is kind of steamy at 85 degrees at first pitch. It'll stay in the 80s throughout the game, so that stinks. You hate to see that in the fall. But it'll be a mostly clear night out there in Chicago. Have a good one, boys.
Let's do this thing. The Nats in a stretch of 13 straight games, 19 games in 20 days to finish out the 2024 season. They're playing 500 ball, 6-6 over their last 12, 13-15 over their last 28. So even though it was an ugly couple of days against the Mets, over the last month, they have been playing right around 500 baseball as they play out the stretch of the 2024 season. For our producers, Darius and Ryan, Grant and Danny saying so long. A big football Friday tomorrow. We'll get you ready for all of the NFL action in week number 3. We'll break down the Nats game tonight. And I also want to talk about Shohei Ohtani, who hit his 49th home run during our show today.
Stole base number 50.
He is one home run away from a 50-50 season that we'll never see again in our lives. Just so amazing and not getting enough runs, certainly between you and I. Till tomorrow, Vargas.
Thank you for coming.